Well, good evening, everyone. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and this is SCARS, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the SCARS organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. This SCARS server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System, provided by Whiskey 8 Mike Whiskey, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off the system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they've checked in. Information regarding our operation may be found on our website, which is www.scarsvoip.com. There's many net controls for this session. I'm merely opening it up. My call is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. My name is Kathleen. I'm located in the city of Port St. Lucie, Florida, where we currently have a temperature of about 75. It was a high of about 78 today and a very beautiful day. So prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled at this time. If so, please come aboard. All right, no emergency traffic, and that's always a great thing. How about anyone celebrating their birthday, maybe this week, maybe tonight, maybe last week, that would like to come aboard so we could say happy, happy? Great. That means none of us are getting any older. This is the monthly Thursday Informational Net Open Forum, or TIN for short. This net is conducted to provide information pursuant to amateur-related subjects and or other areas of general interest to those participating. All are encouraged to participate and ask questions of our guest speaker or speakers. And I do want to advise all stations connected that this net is being recorded for future presentation on our website as a podcast. So if you've been part of this session tonight, you'll most definitely be part of that recording. Again, our topic is the art of de-exiting. So GW8 Sierra Zulu Lima, are you set to take over? I've been asked to throw it directly to you. So are you okay? This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. If so, the gavel's all yours.
K6SUN from GW8S. Hello, yes, I'm all set to go there, Kathy, and I'll make a start. This is GW8S. My name's Dave. My QTH is Newport in South Wales in the UK. We've currently got a temperature of 46 Foxtrot, 7.7 Charlie, and it's mostly cloudy. Local time's 3 minutes past midnight. Okay, without further ado, we'll start this evening's program. De-exiting, taken from de-ex, the telegraphic shorthand for distance or distant, is the hobby of receiving and identifying distant radio or television signals, or making two-way radio contact with distant stations in amateur radio, citizens band radio, or other two-way radio communications. Many de-exers also attempt to obtain written verifications of reception or contact, sometimes referred to as QSLs. Now, the practice of de-exing arose during the early days of radio broadcasting. Listeners would mail reception reports to radio broadcasting stations in hopes of getting a written acknowledgement or a QSL card that served to officially verify that they actually heard a distant station. Collecting these cards became popular with radio listeners in the 1920s and the 1930s. And reception reports were often used by early broadcasters to gauge the effectiveness of their transmissions. Although international shortwave broadcasts are now on the decline, de-exing remains popular among dedicated shortwave listeners. The pursuit of two-way contact between distant amateur radio operators is also a significant activity within the amateur radio hobby. Early radio listeners often used homemade crystal sets and long-wire antennas, sound radio stations few and far between. With the broadcast bands uncrowded, signals of the most powerful stations could be heard over hundreds of miles, but weaker signals required more precise tuning or better receiving gear. Now, by the 1950s and continuing through to the mid-1970s, many of the most powerful North American clear channel stations, such as KDKA, WLW, WGY, CKLW, CHUM, WABC, WJR, WLS, WKBW, KFI, KAAY, KSL, and a host of border blasters from Mexico pumped out top 40 music, paid by popular disc jockeys. As most smaller local AM stations had to sign off at night, the big 50 kilowatt stations were able to reach listeners hundreds of miles away. Now, the popularity of the XIN, the medium wave band, has diminished as the popular music formats quickly migrated to the clearer, though less propagating, FM radio beginning in the 1970s. Meanwhile, the medium wave bands in the United States was getting more and more crowded with new stations and existing stations receiving FCC authorization to operate with low power. At night, this largely peaked in the conservative talk radio boom of the 1990s, and especially since the 2010s. The AM band has gone into decline, unfortunately. In Canada, the decline came sooner, as AM stations began moving to FM, beginning in the 1980s and continuing through today. A limited number of music stations, including WFM in the United States, CFZM in Canada, and on weekends, WABC still program music on their clear channel signals. Outside of the Americas and Australia, most AM radio broadcasting was in the form of synchronous networks of government-operated stations, operated with hundreds, even thousands of kilowatts of power. Still, the lower power stations and occasional transoceanic signals were popular DX targets. And now we're going to go to turn to shortwave listening. Especially during wartime and times of conflict, reception of international broadcasters whose signals propagate around the world on the shortwave bands has been very popular with both casual listeners and the XIN hobbyists. And with the rise in popularity of streaming audio of the internet, many international broadcasters, including the BBC and the Voice of America, have cut back on their shortwave broadcasts. Missionary religious broadcasts still make extensive use of shortwave radio to reach the less developed countries around the world. In addition to international broadcasters, the shortwave bands also are home to military communications, RTTY, which is radio teletype, amateur radio, pilot radio, and broadcast of number stations, which a lot of them were heard in the Cold War, but there are still a few about. Many of these signals are transmitted in single sideband mode, which requires the use of specialized receivers, more suitable to the XIN than to casual listening. Okay, this is GW8SNL identifying. I'm looking for any check-ins or questions or comments before I pass it on to the next narrator. So if anybody would like to check in and ask a question, pass a comment, please call now.
VK2 Delta 8 Alpha.
KG7IK checking in.
Okay, I've got the K2HA, the happy amateur. That's Fred. VK2DY, Robert down there in Sydney. And Alpha Golf 7 India Kilo. Is there anybody else? Okay, hearing nobody else. I think we're going to go to Fred first. That's K2HA, the happy amateur up there in Pennsylvania. Hope all is well with you there, Fred, and go right ahead, sir.
Well, thank you, Dave. This is Fred, K2HA. Peace and blessings to you and to everybody that's listening. My first introduction to shortwave was when I was in grade school. I got a hold of SX-99, Halicrafters, and I would listen to all the shortwave stations, and then I started listening to the ham radio stations. I said, what is this? And piqued my interest, and then I decided to get licensed. So many, many years ago. And it was shortwave first, and then ham radio second, and we really enjoyed it. This is Fred, K2HA. Back to you, Dave.
K2HA from TW8SNL. Okay there, Fred. Well, when I was about 6 or 8 years old, I can't remember, it's a long time ago, my father bought me for Christmas Elizabethan Pathfinder. It had all the HF bands on it. It had a BFO, it had VHF, and in particular, it had UHF, which was very, very unusual for that particular era. No digital display, of course, but a dual geared VFO control, so you could actually really, really fine tune it. And it still had the old string, sort of old radio type frequency on there. Now, it goes up and down as you turn the knobs, but just give you an approximate frequency there. And yeah, I started off listening on VHF and UHF, and then I went down to the AM broadcast bands, and then to ham radio, because I wonder what it was. I didn't even know nothing about ham radio at that time, but that's a long story, and I'll go through it with you at another time. But, yep, did exactly the same. Then we progressed to RTTY on HF for the international news agencies like TASS and Reuters and all that, and got a computer to decode it. In fact, that was a Commodore 64 computer. But I can go on forever on this one. Anyway, Fred, do you have anything further before I move along to the next station? K2HA, GW8SZL.
Okay, very good, Dave. Yeah, this is K2HA. So I added a Heathkit a Q multiplier to increase its selectivity, and it made it that much more usable, the SX99, and it worked really well. But, you know, you had to use the BFO to listen to single sideband, unfortunately. But it made me want it to move up, and I ended up moving up. This is Fred, K2HA. Thank you, Dave. GW8SZL, this is K2HA.
K2HA from GW8SZL. You're okay there, Fred. I wonder what you moved up to, just out of interest. Because from the Elizabethan Pathfinder, I moved up to, it's commonly known as a Frog 7, a Yaesu FRG7. Go ahead, Fred.
Well, I ended up getting a Kenwood receiver, and that was able to receive single sideband. Okay, this is Fred, K2HA.
Yeah, okay there, Fred, and thanks for popping in and sharing a bit of your history in radio with us all. Okay, I'll say 7-3 to Fred, the happy amateur up there in Pennsylvania. That's K2HA, of course. And now we're going down to the other hemisphere, the seventh hemisphere of the planet, to Robert, VK2DY. Go ahead there, Robert.
Yes, GW8SNL, VK2DY, Robert in Northwestern Sydney. Where it's currently 20 degrees, sun is shining, headed for a high of 24. We're going to head out and go see some autumn colors today. It's just a gorgeous day. Everything's shut, of course, because it's Good Friday, so everybody will be out on the road, but we're going to go out anyway and enjoy the day. As far as this goes, I was really big into shortwave DXing. When I was a kid, my father encouraged it, of course, because he was a radio person. And when I was a kid, I collected QSL cards from all sorts of shortwave stations. Man, it was so much fun. I'd hear this station or that station, and I'd say, oh, wow, where is that anyway? And it was sort of like just an enjoyment of wow, this world is a big place. And I was really enjoying trying to listen to different parts of the world. And of course, not everybody broadcast in English, so to try to figure out what language they were broadcasting in order to try to get a QSL card was always fun as well. no instant translators from the internet or anything available back then. But it was fun. I had a big stack of QSL cards, and I used to enjoy every evening. I would listen to the BBC News, and I loved the feel of being connected to the world. And so it was a great part and a great beginning of my amateur radio hobby as well. VK2DY, back to that.
Yeah, VK2DY from GW8SZL. Yeah, I'm wondering, did you have a copy of the WRTH, the World Radio and TV Handbook, so you can find out the addresses, the postal addresses of the different radio stations where you could get a QSL card from? Because I did. Just wondering. VK2DY, GW8SZL.
Oh yeah, that was one of the first things my father bought me when I got interested in DXing. So yes, I had several editions of it. VK2DY.
Yeah, from GW8SZL. Yeah, that was the actual shortwave listeners and DXers bible. That was for sure. They had all the actual addresses. They had all the actual transmission schedules for all the different broadcasting stations in there. What language they were in at the time and where they were actually broadcasting from. And yep, I remember it well. Unfortunately, I think you don't do that anymore. I think it went out of production a couple of years ago, but I'll stand to be corrected on that one though. I do think it did. I think I read somewhere that it actually had ceased being published. Okay, Robert, do you have anything further at this time? VK2DY GW8SZL.
And GW8SZL, VK2DY, nothing else. And I heard that too. I'm thinking 2010 it went out of publication, but I'm not 100% sure. But I heard that too, that it had gone out of publication. Anyway, thanks again for the presentation. VK2DY, back to that.
Yeah, okay, Robert. That long ago. I only thought it was a couple of years, but doesn't time fly when you're having fun? Okay, Robert, thanks for checking in there and sharing that with us as well. Much appreciated, as always. I'm going to say 7 feet to Robert down there in Sydney, in Australia, that's VK2DY. And we're going to, next up, we've got Alpha Golf 7, India Kilo, Jerry. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you, 7. Hey, good evening to the net. I grew up with a radio transceiver in the basement with a dipole there in the basement to listen to. Dad was a radio telegraph operator, an amateur radio operator, which I didn't really realize the significance of at the time. My first real radio experiences started with CB and then the Army, and then I got used to talking around the world to other operators in the Army, other stations connected to my station. And then it took me 10 years to find amateur radio, so go figure. But there we are. Back to that, AG7IK.
Yeah, AG7IK from GW8SZL. Okay there, Jerry, and I'll note it on your father being an RT operator as well. And I nearly missed discovering amateur radio, and it was by pure chance that we found out what I was listening to was actually ham radio. But it's a bit of a long story, so I'm not going to go into it at this time. But I might never have discovered what I was listening to was actually ham radio. Okay there, Jerry, do you have anything further before I pass it over to the next narrator?
Nothing further.
Okay, AG7IK from GW8SNL. Thank you very much, Jerry. Great to hear from you and your story there as well. Okay, this is W8SZL. I'm now looking for the chief. That's Roger, W4RFJ. Go right ahead and continue on with the program.
Okay, this is W4RFJ. How am I sounding there, shipmate?
Absolutely perfect, chief. Absolutely perfect. No problems whatsoever.
Okay, very good. Well, this part of the TIN, we're going to go into VHF DXing. Though sporadic in nature, signals on the FM broadcast and VHF television bands, especially those stations at the lower end of these bands, can skip for hundreds, even thousands of miles. North American FM stations have been received in Western Europe, and European TV signals have been received on the west coast of the U.S. Police, fire, and military communications on the VHF bands are also BX'd to some extent on multi-band radio scanners. Though they are mainly listened to strictly on a local basis, one difficulty is in identifying the exact origins of the communications of this nature, as opposed to the commercial broadcasters, which must identify themselves at the top of each hour and can often be identified through mentions of sponsors, slogans, etc., throughout their programming. As far as amateur radio DX, amateur radio operators who specialize in making two-way radio contact with other amateurs in distant countries are also referred to as DXers. On the HF, also known as shortwave amateur bands, DX stations are those in foreign countries. On the VHF-UHF amateur bands, DX stations can be within the same country or continent, since making long-distance VHF contact without the help of a satellite can be very difficult. DXers collect QSL cards as proof of contact and can earn special certificates and awards from amateur radio organizations. I want to add here, I actually had an opportunity from Virginia Beach. When I lived in Virginia Beach, I had my general class license. I had a vertical up at about 20 feet because I was in the flight path of Oceania. But I actually ended up being a net control for stations following the East Coast all the way up into Maine. That was because of a band opening and ducting allowing DX to happen on VHF. All right. In addition, many clubs offer awards for communicating with certain number of DX stations. For example, the ARRL offers a DX Century Club Award, or DXCC. The basic certificate is awarded for working and confirming at least 100 entities on the ARRL DXCC list. For award purposes, entities in areas other than nation states or countries can be classified as DX countries. For example, the French territory of Reunion Island in the Indian Ocean is counted as a DX country, even though it is a region of France. The rules for determining...
Chief, you timed out. Your last words were the rules of... Then you dropped out.
All right, let me figure out where that was. Okay, the rules for determining what is a DX country, is that where I dropped off?
Yes, it is, KB90WG.
Thanks, Dave. I was hoping I wouldn't drop out. I was pretty close to the end. All right, the rules of determining what is a DX country can be quite complex, and to avoid potential confusion, radio amateurs often use the term entity instead of country. In addition to entities, some awards are based on island groups in the world's oceans. On the VHF-UHF bands, many radio amateurs pursue awards based on Maidenhead grid locators. All right, now let me reset the timers, and Dave, did that come through okay?
That was perfect, Chief, KP90WG.
All righty then. Thank you, sir. All right, continuing on, amateurs have mounted an order to give other amateurs a chance to confirm contacts at new or exotic locations, de-expeditions to countries or regions that have no permanent base of amateur radio operators. There are also frequent contests where radio amateurs operate their stations on certain dates for a fixed period of time to try to communicate with as many DX stations as possible. Moving on to DX clubs, many radio enthusiasts are members of what they call DX clubs in many countries around the world. The clubs are a useful source of information about news relating to international radio, as well as an opportunity to socialize. One example is the British DX Club. All right, well, I'm at the end of my part of the narration. Are there anybody that wants to check in and join us here this evening? Please call W4RFJ. All right, hearing none, next on the... narrator list is Kilo Echo 5, Alpha Lima Fox. How about it, alien life form? You with us this evening?
W4RFJ from KE5ALF. Yeah, I just got here. Thought I'd come down for a little while. Melmac was getting kind of boring. So anyway, let's carry on here. We'll talk a little bit about QSL cards. A number of DXers collect acknowledgement cards called QSL cards. QSL cards often have a picture and messages indicating their country's culture or technological life on one side, and confirmation of the listener's reception data on the other. Let's talk about that. SINPO report, S-I-N-P-O. SINPO is a code used to indicate reception quality in each of five attributes, graded on a scale of 1 to 5, where 1 means the quality was very bad, and 5 very good. Those attributes are S, signal strength, I, interference with other stations or broadcasters, N, noise ratio in the received signal, P, propagation, ups and downs of the reception, and O, overall merit. Reports are sent by post or email and may include the listener's geographical location in longitude and latitude, the types of receiver and antenna used, the frequency the transmission was heard on, a brief description of the program listened to, other opinions about it, and suggestions, if any. Although the SINPO code is a subjective measure, a particular broadcast may receive SINPO reports from several listeners from the same area, allowing the broadcaster to compare reports and gain insight into signal coverage. Variants of this report are the SIO report, which omits the noise and propagation, and grading on a scale of 1 to 3 instead of 1 to 5, and the SINPO report, where the F stands for fading. DX communication. DX communication is communication over large or relatively uncommon distances on the UHF or VHF scale bands, which are typically used for short range or line of sight communications. DX may represent communications with stations 50 or 100 miles away. The UHF and microwave bands have also been used to accomplish Earth-Moon-Earth communications between stations worldwide. On the low frequency bands, 30 kilohertz to 30 megahertz, contacts between stations separated by more than 100 miles are often considered DX. But in amateur radio on the high frequency bands, DX is referred to as stations outside of the receiver's country. See the section in amateur radio DX. DX is also affected by solar storms and some other solar events, which can alter the Earth's ionosphere by ejecting a shower of charged particles. Among amateur radio operators and shortwave listeners, most traditional DX communication occurs on the HF bands, where the ionosphere is used to refract the transmitted radio beam. The beam returns to the Earth's surface and may then be refracted back into the ionosphere for a second bounce. Ionospheric refraction is generally only feasible for frequencies below about 50 megahertz, and is highly dependent upon atmospheric conditions, the time of day, and the 11-year sunspot. The angle of refraction places a minimum on the distance at which the refracted beam will first return to Earth. This distance decreases frequency. As a result, any station employing DX will be surrounded by an angular dead zone where they can't hear other stations or be heard by them. This is the phenomenon that allows shortwave radio reception to occur beyond the limits of line of sight. It is utilized by amateur radio enthusiasts, hams, and shortwave broadcast stations such as BBC and the Voice of America, and others. And it's what allows one to hear AM stations from areas far from their location. It is one of the backups to failure of long-distance communication by satellites when their operation is affected by electromagnetic storms from the sun. For an example, in clear ionosphere conditions, one can hear France enter on a 711 kilohertz far into the UK and as far as Reading, Berkshire. It is also possible to hear Radio Australia from Melbourne as far away as Lansing, Michigan, which is a distance of some 9,835 miles or 15,827 kilometers. That's it for my section at this time. I'm going to ask if there's any check-ins out there before I turn it over to the next narrator. Okay, seeing none. KB9EWG, David, this from KE5AOF. Are you out there, sir? It's your turn.
Yes, I'm right here, Alf. Nice to hear from you there. By the way, hopefully I may have some time to see you back at testing. You missed a good session last night. We had 12 candidates last night. Anyways, good evening all. KB9EWG picking up my section here. I got to get back to the script that bumped on me here. All right, we're talking about DXing equipment now. The equipment used in DXing ranges from inexpensive portable receivers to deluxe equipment costing thousands of dollars. Using just a simple AM radio, one can easily hear signals from most powerful stations propagating hundreds of miles at night. Car radios also used for DXing the AM broadcast bands. Inexpensive shortwave receivers can receive signals emanating from several countries, and during any time of day, serious hobbyists use more elaborate receivers designed specifically for pulling in business signals, and often build receivers, build their own antennas designed for specific frequency bands. In general, an expensive desktop PC radio will able to hear just about what a very expensive high-performance receiver can receive. The difference between the two types is the expensive receiver will have more filtering options and usually better adjacent channel interference blocking, sometimes resulting in the difference of being able to receive or not receive a signal under poor conditions. Okay, enthusiasts utilize personal computers alongside radio control software tailored for FM reception, such as XDR-GTK, specifically designed for use with devices like the Sony XDR-F1HD or the NXP TEF-668X based receivers. This software utilizes the connection and simultaneous controls of multiple radio receivers. Additional tools like FMDX web servers, accessible directly through the web browser, further enhance the experience for FM and AM enthusiasts. These setups enable hobbyists to engage in diversity reception, allowing comprehensive A to B comparisons of various antennas and receivers to optimize signal reception, along with the option to scan remotely. All right. Many simple wire antennas can be made inexpensively, having two dipole antennas at the right angle to each other. For example, one running north-south and running east, one running east-west can produce dramatic difference in reception patterns. To be a good DX chaser, you should focus on understanding propagation, utilizing DX resources like DX clusters and spotting networks, and mastering efficient operating techniques for pilots and signal analysis. One, understanding propagation, be aware of current sunspot cycles, and as it significantly impacts the radio propagation, especially at higher bands. Let me reset here. And band conditions. Learn how to interpret band conditions, e.g., an example thereof, solar activity, ionospheric layers, to determine which bands are likely to open for DX contacts at different times. Propagation charts. Use propagation charts along and online tools to predict the best bands. Best band and times for reaching distant locations. F2 layer. The F2 layer is the most important layer for DX propagation, and its behavior is affected by solar activity. Utilizing DX resources. DX clusters and spotting networks. Learn how to use DX clusters and spotting networks to find active DX stations and their locations. DX clubs. Join DX club along online forums to connect with other DXers, share information, and learn from their experiences. DX newsletters. Stay informed about DX news propagation conditions through DX newsletters. And mastering operating techniques, efficient pileup techniques. Learn how to effectively work pileups by calling CQ listening carefully for weak signals and using proper calling procedures. Signal analysis. Develop your ability to identify and analyze signals, including distinguishing difference between weak signals and understanding difference of interference. Equipment. Invest in good equipment, including a good antenna, a good receiver, and a good amplifier. Patience and persistence. DX chasing can be challenging, so be patient and persistent in your efforts. Enjoy the process. Remember to enjoy your hobby and thrill of making DX contacts. Additional tips. Morse code, while not essential for all DX chasing, Morse code can be a valuable skill for working DX on some bands and modes. Be respectful and always be respectful of others' hams and their operating practices. Practice, the more you practice, the better you will get at DX chasing. Okay, we have reached the end of this program for this evening. Do we have any further check-ins or comments for the net before we close the net here? KB90WG.
KE5ALF.
W4RFJ.
Okay, W4RFJ, and we got KE5ALF, and I think that might have been Robert, BK2DY, trying to get in there also. KE5ALF, go ahead.
KE5ALF, the KB9EWG. Yeah, Dave, sorry about the testing sections there. I'm the secretary/treasurer for the local fraternal Eagles down here. So, unfortunately, they've been meeting on Wednesday, so I haven't been able to do that. But the good thing is my term is up the first of next month, so I'll be back seeing you again to help out on them testing sessions. This is KE5ALF. Turn it back to KB9EWG.
Okay. Well, I just thought I mentioned you missed a good session last time. We had 12 candidates there, but thank you there, Elf. Good talking to you. Chief, what's up there? W4RFJ, KB90WG.
Yeah, Dave, could you go ahead and pick up Delta Yankee and give it to me after him, over?
I certainly can. I did see VK2DY key up. I didn't hear any audio. Were you trying to get in there, Robert?
VK2DY, I think it was somebody on my link, because it wasn't me, and the link is what keyed up, so I'm not sure who it was, VK2DY.
Okay, I saw VK2DY pop up on the marquee there, but all right, sounds good. Thank you, Robert. All right, back to you there, Chief, W4RFJ, KB90WG.
Yeah, this is W4RFJ with the Thursday Information Net for South Cars VOIP. The reason why I wanted to check in with you here, Dave, is I feel very strongly about this. We have an unsung hero, and I want to make sure that that unsung hero, even though a lot of work goes into narrating and getting things going where they need to go, the one gentleman that puts these programs together has been doing a phenomenal job, and he's been doing it for years. And I just want to pass out a great big Bravo Zulu and give everybody a chance to give a great big Bravo Zulu to KY6V, our mentor slash captain or skipper of the ship. Big Bravo Zulu there, Gordon. I'm very impressed and very proud of the work that you've done for SCARS VOIP and the TIN project. This is W4RFJ. Dave, if you don't mind letting people check in to give their Bravo Zulu, I appreciate it. Over.
Oh, absolutely, 100%. He's got my Bravo Zulu. I'm very proud to be part of the TIN here and the other nets and such. And yeah, he does do a fine job of getting these scripts together and getting the word out, and just a phenomenal job. This makes it such an honor being part of South Cars, our chief. So anybody else want to give the captain of Bravo Zulu? Come ahead there, please, from KB90WG.
Hotel America.
Sierra Zulu Lima.
Ah, the happy amateur and the petrified one. Hey, Fred, how you doing this evening? Go ahead and pick it up. And I bet you got a Bravo Zulu for Gordon there, don't you?
You are correct. This is Fred K2HA, and so many things are done behind the scenes by KY6E, the captain, the captain who steers the ship here, and writing the scripts. You know, writing the scripts, but doing the research, my Lord. And he starts, you know, the month before and works on it for weeks, and I just give him a ton of credit for all that he does to keep the SCARS, the digital version of South SCARS, alive and well. And so, Gordon, thank you so very much. Fantastico. This is Fred, K2HA.
Well, thank you, Fred. Good words there. Thank you so much. Over to the petrified one, GW8SZL. Good evening, Dave. How you doing?
KB9EWG from GW8SZL. Good afternoon. Well, evening there, David. And we're now in the morning here at, we're just about 30 minutes to 1 a.m. And, yeah, I just like the second, third, and fourth that everything that Gordon does, not just for the TIN, but for everything he does in the background for SCARS VOIP. He does an amazing job, as always. And always there in the background in case of any problems. Oh, dear. Sorry about that. I was building up from GW8SZ.
Awesome, Dave. Thank you so much. Good to hear from you this evening. Anybody else have any Bravo Zulus for the captain or any other comments for the Nets or check-ins or anything else there? This is KB90WG. Well, before I do wrap things this up, TIN, if you're... You know, I was listening to Fred earlier talking about the using the receivers and all that, listening to stations. I remember doing the same thing myself as a kid there. I had a Hellcrafters S120 that I used to listen to a lot of shortwave stations on there. And a couple of shortwave stations I really enjoyed was WRNO out of New Orleans and KUSW out of Utah. They were both classic rock stations on the shortwave bands. Enjoyed listening to their one of the DJs from WRNO is actually better known as Don Wilbanks. He was Don Banks on the air then. And he does Amateur Radio Newsline. And Don Banks will be at our next monthly club meeting here in La Crosse on via Zoom. I've invited him to join us here. And one thing that I used to do, Fred was talking about tuning sideband. I had a couple of receivers that did not have a BFO on there. Started to sideband on a receiver without a BFO. Well, I used to use another AM radio and beat the frequency off one radio into the other as a VFO to receive sideband that way, and it worked fairly well. Anyways, KB9EWG, getting ready to wrap up the TIN. Any other questions or comments before I secure the net there? This is KB9EWG. All right, hearing nothing else, I guess I'll go ahead and wrap up the net here. This has been SCARS. VOIP net schedules and general information may be found on our SCARSVOIP.com website. That is SCARSVOIP.com. Your net control station, closing net control station for the session has been David, KVNET-EWG. Stand 7-3, closing this VOIP session. Thank you all for your participation. This net is now closed and server returned to normal amateur use. KB9EWG.